Greetings in the name of the Lord. For some weeks we have been studying from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. Now I have emphasized, and I want to emphasize again today, that Romans and every other book in the Bible is the Word of God. It's not the Word of man, it's the Word of God. We are thankful to God that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is trustworthy. And so it's important as we study the book of Romans that we recognize that God's word carries authority. In other words, it's something we must listen to, we must heed, we must obey it, and we must follow it with all our hearts. I've emphasized again and again in this series of messages, we cannot follow merely the teachings of men. Now I thank God for pastors who teach us from the Word of God. But when they depart from the Word of God and are merely teaching the ideas of men, we cannot trust them anymore. So many of the false cults are following simply the books of their founders or the books of their teachers. These become a substitute for the Word of God. Now we have been thinking, as we have studied the book of Romans, first of all about God's means of salvation. From 1:18 to chapter 3, verse 18, we studied about why every person in the world is lost in sin. The worst of them, the best of them, all of them are lost in sin and need a Savior. Then from 3:19 to 5:21, how can a lost man be saved? And we discuss God's means of salvation. It's through the grace of God, through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be saved. God the Son came down to die on the cross for our sins. And through His finished work, we can be saved from our sins. And then we began in chapter 6, verse 1, what is God's standard for the Christian life? This is a section we're now in. In chapter 6, verse 1 to chapter 7, verse 6, we discuss the standard itself. And then we just finished in the last message a message concerning why is the man still defeated in his Christian life? If he is a Christian, and if he wants to follow the standard that God has set, why is he still so completely frustrated and defeated in his Christian life? So we discuss this a little bit. And now today, we have come to Romans chapter 8. We're going to be studying from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 15, but I'm only going to read a few of these verses because I just have a very few minutes to speak with you. In verse 1 of Romans chapter 8, we begin, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now, I want to stop right there with our reading, and I want to go into this passage a little bit. I want to say to you, and I say this very respectfully, there are many, many false teachers today who are emphasizing the wrong things about the subject of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 13, clearly teach us certain things the Holy Spirit did in the apostolic age are not being done anymore. In other words, they have passed away, but faith and hope and love continue. In other words, in the church age, and this is where we now live, we very often are looking to the wrong things in our Christian lives. And the tragedy is we have neglected the teaching concerning the Holy Spirit on how He meets the deepest needs of our daily lives. We have neglected these important teachings given through the Lord Jesus, given in the book of Acts, given in the book of Romans, Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, and many other books. we have neglected these teachings in favor of some of the ideas of man. And so this is very important for us to understand. We need to look at the Word of God, and we need to see what the Word of God itself teaches. For instance, and let me just cite some of this. For instance, in John chapters 14 to 16, Jesus teaches 10 different ministries of the Holy Spirit and how these will have their effect in the lives of his people. In other words, the teaching ministry, the helping ministry, the ministry of giving peace, of giving joy. He lists 10 of these ministries of the Holy Spirit. Some people have never even read this passage, much less understood it. And then in Romans, Galatians, and Ephesians, we learn of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in giving victory in the Christian life. And this is very important for the Christian to understand. It's not just the helping ministry and the teaching ministry and the glorifying Jesus ministry of the Holy Spirit, but it's also his ministry in giving victory in the Christian life. And then in the book of Acts, we learn of his ministry in giving power as we minister the Word of God and witness to other people. So many times I've realized as I'm preaching that in myself I have no power whatsoever. Even the greatest of the preachers will confess this, that even though he might have great preaching ability, unless the Spirit of God is working in his witnessing and in his preaching, nothing is going to be accomplished. Now in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 14, he is answering the cry of the Christian who is seeking victory over sin through the law in chapter 7, and who is in total defeat in verse 24 of chapter 7. Total defeat, total despair. Who can deliver me, this man says, from this bondage of sin and death? And so sin in his life is working very, very strongly. Satan is tempting him constantly in Romans chapter 7. He is constantly defeated. By his own efforts, he has sincerely and deeply sought to have victory. But there's no victory in his life because Satan is a powerful foe, and Satan has a power to tempt him and to lead him back into sin. And so in these passages, as we study them, coming into Romans chapter 8 now, we're going to see this man who has no hope for victory whatsoever. He's not just under the power of sin, but he's being tempted and defeated by sin. This law of sin and death in him is totally defeating him. And if no answer can be found, this Christian, and we better link ourselves with him as well, this Christian will go down to complete defeat in the Christian life. And I want to say it to you who are listening to me today, if you have trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin, you may be feeling this same sense of sin and defeat in your life. In other words, you sincerely want to follow the Lord. You may even have said to the Lord Jesus, I dedicate my life to you. But there just seems to be no victory in your life whatsoever. And every day you feel this despair. Now in the book of Galatians, for instance, there are some passages, Galatians and Ephesians and 1 John, there are some passages which answer this need. And I want to very quickly dwell on these, and then I want to go back to the passage in Romans 8, 1 to 15. First of all, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, after commanding them not to use their liberty as a means for the flesh, this is in verse 13, he gives this promise in verse 16 of Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Mark that in your Bibles. Walk in the Spirit. Depend upon him. Lean on him. Ask him to help you. Look to him for his help. Let him work in your lives. Permit him, in other words, to work in your lives. Then in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 17, he talks here about the great spiritual battle between the evil one, that is Satan, and the Christian, and how we're constantly fighting this great spiritual battle, and how powerful this enemy is, how he goes about seeking to destroy us. But in verse 10, he speaks of the Holy Spirit. At least he suggests the Holy Spirit in verse 10 when he speaks of the power of his might, the power of his might, speaking of God's might at work in our lives, and he speaks of the power of his might. This is referring, we believe, to the Holy Spirit. In other words, if we're going to defeat Satan, it's going to have to be through the Holy Spirit. And then in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, we see in this passage our need of the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's emphasized in these words, and I've marked these words heavily in my Bible. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Listen to that again. Greater is he that is within you than he who is in the world. Now, we Christians understand the wonderful truth that when we trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior from sin, the Holy Spirit came to live in our lives. What a wonderful, wonderful truth this is, that we have the indwelling Spirit in our lives. In other words, in John 14, for instance, Jesus speaks of living in our lives himself by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I will be with you. My Father will be with you. And in what sense is he with us? He's with us in the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is in our lives for a very important purpose, and that is mainly to help us live the Christian life. It's not just to give us assurance. We're going to be talking about assurance in another message at the end of Romans chapter 8. It's not just to give us assurance and not just to give us the idea that we truly belong to him, but it's also to give us daily victory in our lives. So 1 John gives us that wonderful promise, greater is he who is within you than he that is in the world. Now let's turn for a very few moments back to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. And in this passage, there are a number of different ways that the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And that's the purpose of this passage, verses 1 to 15. First of all, the Holy Spirit in verse 1 forever delivers us from condemnation. There is no condemnation for the one who has trusted the Lord Jesus as a Savior. No matter what Satan may say to us, no matter how he might tempt us, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We have been forever saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace of God. We have been forever saved. Number two, the Holy Spirit has also given deliverance from the law of sin and death. That is the old nature. Remember in Romans chapter 7, we pointed out that this law of sin and death has to do with the work of the old nature still within us, still tempting us in our minds, in our words, in our feelings and attitudes and so forth. But now the Holy Spirit has delivered us from the law of sin and death, which has dominated us. This is in verse 2. Now, this idea is that every day we still will be tempted, but we do not need to be defeated because the Holy Spirit delivers us from the power of the old nature. And then number 3, the Holy Spirit, if we walk after him rather than walking after the flesh, also fulfills in us the righteousness of the law. Now, this is what the man in Romans 7 was aspiring to. He is what he intensely was desiring, that he wanted the righteousness which the law seemed to promise. In other words, it held out the promise, but rather than finding that righteousness by following the law, he only found defeat. In other words, the law showed him his sinfulness, his need before God, and so forth. But when God gave the law, he was a righteous, holy God giving this law. In other words, it was a law that had come down from heaven. And as Romans chapter 7 says, the law is holy. The law is righteous in itself. The problem is we are not. And we cannot find righteousness by following the law. But in this passage, in verse 4, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled as we walk in the Spirit rather than after the flesh. In other words, God brings a righteous life to us, a life that before him is approved and acceptable. And then in number 4, in verses 5 and 6, the Holy Spirit enables us to concentrate on spiritual things rather than things of the flesh. And this is very, very important, and I want to emphasize this to you. Many Christians never leave the old life at all. They're still walking in the old life, in the old defeats. And the Holy Spirit helps us to concentrate on spiritual things. And then number 5, His presence is also the proof, the assurance of our salvation. How wonderful this is in verse 9. The proof and the assurance of our salvation. Number 6, even though our body is dead, our spirit is alive because of His presence in us. In other words, in Romans chapter 7, He says, "In my flesh, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." But even though my body may be dead because of my sinful past and all, my spirit is alive because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. This is verse 10. And then number 7, the Holy Spirit also gives life to our mortal bodies. And how wonderful this truth is, that we now can live for the Lord Jesus. We can use our energies, our daily lives, to glorify and honor His name. And finally, in verse 13, the Holy Spirit also helps to put to death the deeds of the body. In other words, we get victory over sin. This is repeated again and again in this section of Scripture. We get victory over sin through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, this is what I want to emphasize in closing. First of all, you need to be saved from your sins. The Holy Spirit will not work in the life of an unsaved person except to show him the truth and his need of a Savior and to help him to make that decision. But He will not work in giving victory over sin in the life of an unsaved person. If you have never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin, you need to come to Him and put your faith entirely, completely in Him as your Savior from sin. Simply pray in your hearts, confess your sin to God, ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and save you from your sin and live in your heart always. I did this when I was 14. So you cannot have any of this that Romans 8 is promising unless you belong to the Lord Jesus, you have trusted Him as your Savior. But now in Him, you can have this victory. And the victory is not through your self-efforts. That was the problem of the man in Romans chapter 7. He was doing it through self-efforts. You cannot have victory through self-efforts. It's through the help of the Holy Spirit in daily living in obedience to the Word of God and trying to please God and honor Him and glorify Him with your life. So this is my prayer for you, that you might find salvation if you've never been saved through the Lord Jesus Christ alone as your only means of salvation, and then that you might find victory in your lives. We're going to continue this study, and may the Lord help you, each one.